either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولما فتحوا متاعهم وجدوا بضاعتهم ردت إليهم قالوا يا أبانا ما نبغي هذه بضاعتنا ردت إلينا ونمير أهلنا ونحفظ أخانا ونزداد كيل بعير ذلك كيل يسير صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, Alhamdulillah, in the last session, we covered some important morals and lessons that we learn from Surah Yusuf. Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam, a very dynamic individual, the great Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when the brothers came to him, his sons of course, and they said to him that we want you to send Binyamin, our brother, so that we can visit Egypt again. And Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam is the minister there. Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wa salam said to them, do you want me to trust you like how I trusted you the last time when it came to his brother Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam? You want me to trust you? And so we see that it was extremely difficult for this great man. But what we learn is that despite all this, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam did not break ties with his children. He did not break ties with his children at all. He did not disown them. He did not say, okay, finished, my relationship with you from now is ending, khatam. He didn't say that. But he maintained a good relationship. And that is why the scholars have mentioned that when it comes to relationships, the strongest relationship is the relationship of parents with children. And when it comes to parents and children, this relationship is very, very strong. And from both sides, it must be maintained. The parents should not disown the children, and the children must not also disown the parents. Even at old age, it should not be that the children feel that we are no longer in that position to look after our parents. And it cannot be that you break ties with your mother and father and say, okay, I'm not going to speak with you. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. So this relationship is a very, very strong relationship. And this we need to understand. Now, what are the reasons why people break ties, people break relationships? Our scholars have mentioned that the number one reason why people break ties and relationships is because of anger. Because of anger. Is because of anger. Anger is poison. 99% of all the relationships that break is because of anger. Anger management, you know, a person needs to control himself. That is why there is one very beautiful hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi has said that there are four types of people. Number one, that person who gets angry very, very quickly and his anger subsides very late. His anger subsides, khatam hota hai also very, very late. So you get that person who snaps very quickly, gets angry very quickly. And not only does he get angry quickly, but his anger then subsides after a long time. Allah's Nabi said, this man is the worst person. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worst person. You don't want your daughter to get married to this kind of a person. The one who gets angry very quickly and his anger subsides very late. Another person is a person who gets angry very quickly and his anger subsides also very quickly. Gets angry quickly and his anger also goes very quickly. Allah's Nabi said, he's in the middle. And then you get the third person whose anger comes very, very late. He becomes angry very slowly, but his anger also exits very late. He gets angry very late. You know, it's not easy to get him angry. But when he gets angry, jab wo muh charata hai, then oh ho ho, for it to go, it takes a long time. How many people?
Three.
The fourth person, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is that person who gets angry very, very late and his anger exits very, very quickly. Whose anger sets in very, very late and exits very, very quick. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this man is the best man. He is the best man. Because no man can say, I have no anger. In fact, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi said, that person who has no anger in him, he is a donkey. What did Imam Shafi say? That person who's got no anger in him, who is he? He's a donkey. Because Allah has created anger. And anger is of two types. Anger at the right time, when someone is breaking the commands of Allah and you get angry, this is good. You show a bit of anger. Namaz nahi pari. Why you didn't pray namaz? What is it? You tell somebody off, you tell your child off, you tell your wife, but why? What happened? Why are they not praying namaz? What is the issue? A child speaks in front of the mother and does not respect the mother, and the husband, the father says something, tells him off. It's right. A bit of anger, it is fine. At the right time, you have to have a bit of anger. It is like what we call, I don't like to translate what is in Arabic, what is known as shahwat. What is it? Shahwat. English we say desire. What do we call it? Desire. Really, shahwat and desire. Desire is also of two types. If somebody has got no desire, then you don't want to marry that person too. He's got no desire by then. If you haven't got desire, then what are you? So desire is natural in a person. What is it? Natural inclination. So desire that is used in the right way is absolutely fine, but desire, shahwat, when you use it in the wrong way, it is very, very dangerous. Very dangerous. So the number one issue today, especially with the young, and especially in this modern world, you see people are getting very, very angry very, very quickly. And a research was done. I'm talking about this because in Surah Yusuf we see this dynamic Nabi who showed so much control with his children. And I have actually written down the abuse that came from the children so that you understand. It was not something minor, it was major. But Yaqub alayhi salam, calm and collective, subhanallah. But what are the symptoms? What is the reason that a person wants to break ties? What is the reason? You know, research was done, it is amazing. They say that a person who is an addict to smoking, you know, smoking cigarettes, and a person who is obese, very fat, obesity and smoking does not harm you so much as anger harms you. Can you imagine that? The research that was done recently, obesity and smoking does not harm you so much as anger harms a person. That is why anger, when you see his body changes. Our akabirin have mentioned a few signs. Number one, the face becomes red. So the blood gushes to the face. What does it do? Goes on top. And you start staring without blinking. Your face is red. Your voice is raised. What is it? You don't even realize. And with some people, they start biting their teeth in anger. What do? Start biting the teeth. And ulama have mentioned sometimes they even feel that they've got pins and needles. What is it? Pins and needles. That is how the symptoms are. And he wants to vent his frustration and anger. Highly dangerous, my respected brothers. And you see this with the youth generally, Muslims and non-Muslims today. Allahu Akbar. And so we have to really understand that we have to control anger. Our scholars have mentioned generally, anger is visible at the highest level from the age of 13 to 33. From the age of 13 to 33. After 33, anger should be coming down. Anger should be coming. If by the age of 55 and between 55 and after you are still angry and anger is with you, then there is a serious disease that is inside you. This is what the ulama have mentioned. Otherwise, it should subside. What is it? The level of anger should come down as a person is aging and mashallah, he should become more wise. He should become more wise. This is what our scholars have mentioned, my respected brothers and elders. So we have to take control of our anger. Nobody can say, oh, you know what, I can't take control of anger. Never. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered all the companions and he said to them, tell me who is a wrestler? Tell me who is a warrior? Who is a warrior? A fighter, a mujahid. Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, the one who can defeat his opponent, the one who can defeat his opponent. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained in such a beautiful way with examples. He said, the one who can defeat his opponent, no. He is not a warrior. A warrior is that person. إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدُ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ. The one who at the time of anger, he wants to burst out in flames. And this anger inside him, at that time he bottles up and he shows no anger. And he is calm and he is collective. And he does not allow his anger to come out. He is a warrior. He's the real man who is very, very strong. 99% of talaq. Somebody came to me, Mauli Sahab. I said, gee, in anger I gave my wife 3 talaqs. How many?
3
talaqs. Give me good news. Musalli bhi aise hote. You know, I don't know what they take me for. Give me good news. So, I said, bhai, go to a mufti, bhai. You know, I don't want to take the blame on my head. I said, which man gives talaq smiling? Can you find for me a man, you know, he's happy. Talaq, talaq, talaq. Does anybody give talaq when they are happy? Shabir bhai? No. 99% it is anger that is there that you give talaq. And that is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that be very careful of your anger. Our mashayikh and our scholars, Allah give them jazai khair. You know how they go and do their research. They say that the anger of a woman and the anger of a man, there is a slight difference. What is it? The anger of a man and the anger of a woman, there is a slight difference. The anger of a woman is more like a threat. What is it? It's more like a threat. So she will forget it also very quickly. She'll say it, but she won't mean it. Let's hope that way. But a man's anger is very different. A man's anger, when he says it, he will do it. What will he do? He will do it. That's the difference between a woman's anger and a man's anger. Not all the time. Generally, this is what our mashayikh and our scholars have written, studying, you know, human nature and character. That the women, they may say something, but it might be just, you know, the heat of the moment. But a man, you dare him, he'll do it. You dare him, he'll do it. How many times you will hear that the wife will get angry and say to the husband, go on, give me talaq, go on, go on. Go on, do it. Give me a divorce, go on, do it. And eventually he does it. Eventually what happens? He does it. So we have to be very, very careful. Such beautiful guidelines are given to us by our Nabi, Hazrat-e Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah's Nabi has mentioned, إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ. When one of you gets angry, what should you do? The first thing, brothers, listen to this. The first thing, no man will tell you this. When one of you gets angry, the first thing you do is seal your mouth. Fal yaskut. What should you do?
Seal
your mouth. Quiet. Wherever you are, but just stay quiet. That is why Shaitan has said that the best time the jinns have, that the best time the jinns have, as in the shayateen, the best time the jinns have with the people of Iman is when they are angry. When a person is angry, the shayateen say that we treat them like how a child will kick a ball. Like how a child will kick a ball from one side to another side. That is how we enjoy that atmosphere when we see families, brothers, parents, husband, wife, children, father, daughter, and parents, all of them fighting. A team of them are there, and what they do is they put something in the mind here, something in the mind there, something in the mind there. That person will sway. That person will disrespect the father. The father gets angry. Allahu Akbar. The father will say, how dare you respect me? I don't want to see you. For years, the father will break ties. Brothers, sisters will fight. A lot of things happen. And all of these things only happen because of what? Anger. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. So our children, our youth that are here, it is so important for us to understand what our Sharia has said, that our akabirin, our scholars have given an example that when a person is angry, his example is like that person who is drunk. Is like that person who is drunk. So when a person is angry and whatever he is saying to you, one should not take it to heart. When you see a drunk person, someone who's a drunkard and he's swearing at you and he's pointing two fingers at you and swearing at you and saying, hey, come here, what will you do? Will you retaliate? He'll say, "By nashe wala admi." What will you say? He's a drunk man. So when a person also is in that mode where he is angry, our scholars have mentioned he is the same person. Don't take what they have said to heart because it is not what he meant. It is not what he meant. He was not in the right frame of mind and he started blurting out all of these words. And there is remorse all the time thereafter. There is remorse all the time thereafter. So mashallah, we have to be those who are in complete control. The Quran says, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. Allah loves those people who sip and who drink their anger, who swallow their anger. That is why in a hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, مَنْ حُرِمَ الرِّفْكُ حُرِمَ الْخَيْرُ كُلُّهُ. The one who is deprived from leniency, to be soft in his nature. The one who is deprived from being soft in his nature, then he is deprived of every good. He is deprived from every good. Subhanallah. That is why you will hardly see in the books of Seerah, where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam got angry. Find out, see. There were people who were throwing stones at him at Ta'if. What would you do? What would we do? Somebody started throwing stones at you. You throw a brick at him, you know. And they were throwing stones. And Allah's Nabi, Malaika were there, endorsing it. You tell us, O Nabi of Allah, we'll crush them between the mountains. No. Allahu Akbar. The same people who forced him out of Makkah and he came to Makkah Mukarrama and, you know, he could have taken revenge from everyone. No, no. Yawmul Marhama. Today all of you are free to go. La tathrib, no problem. Go, you are free to go. One wonders, subhanAllah, what a great Nabi. If you look at his life, and so today, my respected brothers, we have to be very careful. Even when a person, you know, a road rage, be sensible. Don't let your ego take everything away from you. Okay, bye, you know what, if he swore at me, let me swear at him. Why? Because you don't know. He's pagal, he might have a knife, he might have something, he could have anything. These guys don't understand. They can come and harm you. What was the result? Something can happen to you, you will die. You've got children. You've got a wife, you were a decent man. What's happened? Nothing. You see, foolish people, you leave them. وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. What do you say? Assalamu alaikum. I don't want to waste time with these people. Move away. It's not that you are weak. It's not. In fact, when you can swallow your anger, you're a warrior. You're a tough man if you can swallow your anger. So these are things that are very important. So when you get angry, our Nabi has said, get close to the earth. Get close to the earth. If you're standing, start to sit. If you're still angry, then lie down. Even then, if you can't control your anger, then go and wash your face. If you can't do that, then go and do wudu. And instantly a person should say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, at the time of anger. And when does anger come about? When does anger come about? Number one, ulama have mentioned that man who has got pride. The man who's got pride will show symptoms of anger. He will show symptoms of anger. Number two, a lot of the times you'll see siblings fighting and people, you know, fighting from a little small thing, one big thing happens. So our mashayikh have said joking is of two types. If you joke in such a way that one person is laughing and the other person is in pain, that kind of joking is haram. And you can't say, oh, come on, I'm just joking with you. You can't say that. Ye gunah hai. Because it is this joking that will lead to breaking ties. It will lead to breaking ties. Huh? Allah's Nabi would joke, but that joking was called mazah. What was it? It was there to make people happy. The joke was such to make the heart happy, to make him happy, to make that person laugh. That joke is jaiz. That kind of joking is jaiz. So we have to be very careful. Understand, our ulama have said that most of the people who will enter Jahannam is because of their temper. Because of their temper. And scholars have mentioned, was it Ghalib and Hazrat Ali? He said that the worst punishment a person can have, even far more worse than Jahannam, is that he is the recipient of the anger of Allah. Allah save us. Oof. Allah ka gussa. Allah save us. And then he went on to say that Allah's gussa is on that person who has a habit of getting angry on other people. Habitually, he's angry on everyone. Habitually, people are scared. So a person needs to change his character. A person needs to change his character. These are very, very important masail for us to learn if we are going to respect our parents, and if the children want to respect their parents, and the parents want to respect the people around them, then all have to take control of their anger. There is one very beautiful moral story that is mentioned. A father had a very tough time with his son. And the son was getting angry very quickly. So the father said to him, Beta, no problem, you're angry, do me one favor, let's do something. Come with me to the garden. So at the back of the garden there is fences, wooden fences. He says, look, I've left a table here, and there's a box of nails and a hammer here. Box of nails and every time you get angry, hammer one nail in the fence. Every time you get angry, hammer the nail in the fence. So like there was a person who did a commitment to himself, every time I do guna, I will give £1 in the path of Allah. So slowly, eventually, too much money was coming out. And there was another person who says, every time I do guna, I will immediately read 2 rakats namaz. You know, slowly they are doing the islah, which is good. So he says, Beta, look, every time you get angry, box of nails here, I know you have anger, take the hammer, drill this nail in the fence, you know. Take it inside. So okay. So now every time he got angry, the father would see from the garden, you know, is hammering, you know, in a day, 3 times, 4 nails, 5 nails, 6 nails. Slowly after 2-3 weeks, you know, 1 nail per day, and slowly, slowly, until after a few months, a time came that for a few days there were no nails going into the fence. So the father called him, because, Beta, what's happened? Because, Dad, you know what? I think I've got a bit of control now. I've got that realization. I've seen there's so many nails here. So, you know. So he goes, how many days no nails? He goes, 3-4 days. He goes, okay. He goes, good, keep it up. Still, when 1 week goes without any nails that you put in the fence, let me know. So that day came and he says, Abba, now it's all clear. He says, okay, let's go now. And the father said, look at the fence. How many nails are there? He says, oof, too many. You can hardly see the wooden plank. So the father said, now remove every nail. Remove every nail. So all of the nails were removed. And so the father said, now what do you see? So he says, Abba, I see holes in the fence. So he said, my son, this is what I'm trying to tell you, that when you get angry, you are hurting someone's feelings and you are breaking someone's heart and you are creating a hole like you have created a hole in this fence. Even if that person forgives you, it will never be the same. It will never be the same. Even if your, you know, parents forgive you, it will never be the same, because you have eventually, you know, you've done something that is at such intensity that it's very difficult to bring those days back and bring the love back. It's very difficult. That hole is there to remain. So is it better for a person to take control, or is it better for a person to say, you know what, I'm angry all the time? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, my respected brothers and elders. And so these are things that we learn in Surah Yusuf, some very, very important etiquettes. And so khair, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam puts a condition forward to the brothers that had met Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wa salam. And the Quran says, وَلَمَّا فَتَحُوا مَتَاعَهُمْ, when they opened up their bags, وَجَدُوا بِضَاعَتَهُمْ, they found their entire capital. رُدَّتْ إِلَيْهِمْ, that it was returned back to them. قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا مَا نَبْغِي, our father, look, what is it, what else do you want? What else do you want? مَا نَبْغِي هَذِهِ بِضَاعَتُنَا رُدَّتْ إِلَيْنَا, look, this is our baggage, it has been returned back to us. وَنَمِيرُ أَهْلَنَا, and we will bring food for our family. وَنَحْفَظُ أَخَانَا, and we will look after our brother. وَنَزْدَادُ كَيْلَ بَعِيرٍ, and we will bring one extra load of camel of food. ذَلِكَ كَيْلُ يَسِيرٍ, and this is very easy for us. You know, we've got all the brothers. Now remember, the brothers had said something else before they had opened up their baggage. So when they came to the father, immediately they were excited. They said to the father, Abba, you know what? You know, he's a good man, the minister, and he says, we have to bring Binyamin. It is at that time Yusuf alayhi, Yaqub alayhi salam said, you want me to trust you? Like how I trusted you before? Like how I trusted you in Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, his matter, that I allowed you to go. So this was when they did not open up the baggage. So Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam, he said no. And look at the tawakkul and the connection that a Nabi has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even when it came to trust, he said thereafter, look, fallahu khayrun hafidha, وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّحِمِينَ, it is only Allah that is going to make muhafidh. Only Allah that is going to protect. Now, when the capital is in the baggage, the money is in the baggage. The money is in the baggage. So, they had another good reason to stand in front of the father and say, Abbaji, you know, what else do you want? Come on. He's returned everything back to us. Everything is free of charge. Abba Jan, you know, We will look foolish if we don't take Binyamin with us. Let us allow us. We will take Binyamin with us. Now here there is one mas'ala. That when you were going to pay an amount to somebody for some merchandise or a commodity that you need or you require, and that payment has not gone through. That payment has not gone through. Why is it that Yaqub alayhi salam, being a Nabi, did not think that, you know what, this is his amanat and we need to return it back? So how did this money come here? And Yusuf alayhi salam didn't say that I'm giving it to you free of charge. It was put in the bags very discreetly. But Yaqub alayhi salam, the Quran does not give us a hint where he says that, you know what, this is amanat, and Anbiya alayhi salam are very mindful of amanat. From this verse of the Quran, our fuqaha have taken out a lot of masail. One mas'ala is that if you went to a shop somewhere, and say you know the shopkeeper or somebody, and you say, no, no, I want to make a payment, and he's saying, no, no, Adam, no, no, it's okay, go, go, go. And if the money is put back in the bag, or if the money is put in your pocket, or if the money is given to a third party to be returned to you, and there is a strong indication that that person is doing it from his heart and is gifting it to you. What is it? Strong indication that it's not like the tax that we have in this country, chore, you know, inheritance tax. Allah save us, 40%. Okay? What zulm? Can you imagine that? There is no more zulm than this. Can you imagine? And I was talking to one of the alims, and you know, they deal with all these issues, and when he was telling me, oh, it was mind-boggling. Can you imagine? If you have a property, he was saying more than £325,000 and a few properties here and there, and if you don't do the right things, then the government takes that money, 40,000, you know. There are experts who will tell you into this. But there was one mas'ala, and so I was sitting with a scholar who's an expert in this field. So he was telling me all this, what is happening. In fact, he told me he wants to do a bayan in the masjid. And he says, you know what, one of the Jummas will give you a slot, and it's so important, so you explain to the musalli. So he says, I will do that. I said, bring, you know, the right people. So anyway, this is zulm. But when there is a strong indication where somebody has gifted it to you, then it becomes haram for a person to take that gift back. It becomes haram for a person to take that. If it is gifted, it is yours. You can't give it back to that. That person cannot take that item back because he gifted it to you. So here, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam and the brothers knew that how is it possible? This only means that Yusuf alayhi salam was gifting everything to us. Because of his hospitality, they knew that there is a strong indication that this is what? A gift that was given. So this was a gift that was given. Now, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam, when he opened up the baggage and when he saw that all the capital has been given back, and the food and everything that is given to them by the minister is free, then Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam agreed. But he did not agree, he only agreed with conditions. So very quickly he said, قَالَ لَنْ أُرْسِلَهُ مَعَكُمْ حَتَّى تُؤْتُونِ مَوْثِكًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ. I am never going to send with you Binyamin until you bring forward a pledge in the name of Allah. Say qasam. What is it? You bring pledge in the name of Allah. This is the guarantee that I want from you. لَتَأْتُنَّنِي بِهِ. And that pledge and qasam is that you will make sure you will return Binyamin to me. You will return. He was the youngest. That you will return Binyamin to me. But the father was clever. He says, إِلَّا أَن يُحَاطُ. Unless, of course, some kind of, you know, a tragedy that happens, something that is beyond your control. إِلَّا أَن يُحَاطَ بِكُمْ, something that happens which is not in your power. It was not in your power. Then we can understand. فَلَمَّا آتَوْهُ مَوْثِكَهُمْ, when all the brothers then gave qasam to the father, then the father endorsed it. And he says, قَالَ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَا نَكُولُ وَكِيلُ, remember, what you have said, Allah is watchful. What you have said, Allah is watchful. In this, there are one, two mas'ala that we need to understand. Number one, a person in life needs to show commitment. What is it? There are two people who are in business together, and another partner does not show commitment, it will never work. Husband and wife, they are married, you have to show commitment. Yaqub alayhi salam did not take anything indefinite, did not just say, okay, theek hai, chalega, kya hai? No, no, no. He wanted to see a commitment from that person. Okay, at least to the least take qasam. What is it? Take a qasam, and that Allah is going to hold you for what you have said. And he also reminded them, another masla is, it is not taunting if you remind a person of his mistake of the past, hoping that he will not do this, repeat the same mistake again, it is completely jais. So this is what Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam did. Insha'Allah ta'ala, just to explain to you some of the points that Yaqub alayhi salam forgave his children and he did not break ties. It was not due to somebody thinking that, you know what, this is minor. It is minor, because a lot of the times parents face a great challenge. Some parents have issues with their children who are drug addicts. Some children are very, very violent. Some people. So the best thing is to consult the ulama and see what is the right situation at the right time. But we see in the Quran, as Mufti Shafi and Mufassirin have also written, that this was not something minor. And they point out the difficulty Yaqub alayhi salam went through. Number one, the children, they made a mistake. They made lots of mistakes, and Yaqub alayhi salam did not break relationship with them. So this is one golden rule in the Quran. They lied to the father and made him agree to send Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So this was all a plan. It was never about taking Yusuf to play. What was it? There was a complete different agenda. So they lied to him. Imagine when you lie to your father, a lot of the children have a habit that they will lie to their mother and father. Remember, lying to your mother and father will give you no barakat in your life. It will give you no barakat in your life. Always be truthful. Always be truthful. And talk to your mother and father and give them the reason. Number two, they gave a pledge and they broke it. They were going to break that promise anyway. Number three, they treated the young brother Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam with zulm when they were taking him, with cruelty. Number four, they caused extreme pain to the father, but it didn't bother him. Imagine, for nearly 3 decades, the father did not know where my son is. They were just not bothered. They simply were not bothered that, you know, my father is nearly blind, but it's okay. They were not bothered. Children were not bothered. So imagine they were not bothered with the taklif they are giving to the parents. These are symptoms of our children today, that they give taklif to the parents, but they don't realize. Their hearts have become blind. They have no feelings. Allahu Akbar. And they conspired to kill an innocent human being. That in itself is qatlun nafs, is a big guna. So they were plotting to kill who? Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. And one is to kill a human being and one is to kill your brother. Kill your brother. That multiplies. And then they sold a free human being and made him into a slave. That is also a guna. So look at the sins they committed and how they disobeyed the father. Despite all their crimes, the father, what did he do? Forgive him. That is why, my respected brothers, sometimes a lot of credit is given to the mother, and there is no issue in giving credit to the mother, but don't even forget the father, because it is the father, because of the father, what you are today. It is the father who gave you this opportunity. It is the father who worked to give you this opportunity. It is the father who, it is his du'as and everything and his decisions that you are what you are. You know, Maulana Abrar Sahib, I was reading a kitab, but going to end very quickly, that the father was a simple man who dressed up very simple, in simple clothes, and he worked very hard to educate the child, and the child was educated, and when he got educated, he became very modern. When he got modern, he would invite his friends. And so the father was a simple man. He didn't show any respect to the father. So when his friends were at the house and the father was sitting on one side in simple clothes, so the friend said, "Who's that man over there?" So the son said, "Oh, he is the house cleaner." What did he say? He was shy to say that person who's wearing kurta and a short kurta and izar and a simple man who does not speak English like him, or he was not educated, and he called his father. Subhanallah. Can you imagine that, my respect? These are things that are happening. Believe me, as an imam, alhamdulillah, that I have been for so many years, these 2 years have heard such things that maybe all of you put together will not have heard. Honestly, respected brothers. And you see the things that are happening. That is why sometimes you might wonder, "Bhai, why are you talking on this topic?" Because these things are so important. These things are so important. We need to realize that. Your father is your father. Allah's Nabi said that your father is the middle door of Jannah, the biggest door of Jannah. You will only realize your father, Allah give all the parents long life, when they die. And then it will be too late. It will be too late. Credit should also be given to the father. The father works very hard. Very hard. But children don't realize. Bichari Abba, log. Everything they have. You know, my son should have a house. My son should have this. If they have problem with the children, the father has an issue. The father, you know, the pain is not just isolated to the father and mother, the biological parents, but it goes all the way on top. Goes all the way on top. You know, ye Allah ne ek ajeeb rishta banaya hai. And it's very ajeeb. And so we are Muslims, we are different, my respected brothers. Take control of your anger. Be calm and collective. And also children, listen to your parents. Today you have your parents, it is a blessing that you are living in this Islamic environment. If you were not living in this Islamic environment, and if you were outside, you would have seen, subhanallah, how that darkness is, that zulumat is. So Allah Pak, give us all the tawfiq. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Sami'na wa ata'na gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.